We're going to start off with some scripture because, frankly, I just don't have any announcements. We don't have a lot going on right now, which can be a good or a bad thing. But
we'll check that.
Psalm 23 is our topic this week. What an amazing psalm that is. It's probably the most beloved psalm. Has anyone ever memorized Psalm 23? Show me your hands. Anybody actually memorized it? Oh, we've got a few memorizers here. I did too, long time ago. I think I can remember all of it, but probably not put all the verses in the right order. But it's such a beautiful psalm. And it kind of reminds me of some of the things that Jesus said when he was talking about himself as the good shepherd. And in John chapter 10, he talked at length about being the good shepherd. And then the discussion kind of ended, but then it resumed. And I'm going to read John 10, verses 22 through 30. It says at that time the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." I want you to hang on to that. "They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." What a tremendous reassurance that is. And Jesus spoke repeatedly about that security that we have and that defense that he provides for us, as well as providing for us. As we're going to talk about all kinds of concepts like that today. And so I wanted to share that with you this morning before we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, who is our great shepherd. Father, we want to be blessings to him. He is such a blessing to us. So help us in that regard. Lord, help us to be united as he prayed that we would be. Father, we've got people among us who are suffering emotionally, physically, financially, all kinds of different ways that we're suffering. Yet the Apostle Paul said that suffering for Christ is a blessing and it's a gift. And so, Father, help us to have that attitude that he had, that we can do that for you. And we don't always understand the reasons why, but we don't need to understand the reasons why. All we need to know is that you are our shepherd and that you go before us and that you lead us along the way. And we're not going anywhere that Jesus hasn't already been. So, Father, I pray that you would use us in that regard. And Lord, I want to pray back some of your word to you as we wrap up our prayer this morning from Hebrews 13. We ask that you, the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, he's the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant. Father, I ask that he would equip us, that you would equip us with everything good so that we can do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, we're going to receive the offering in just a little while, but first, get up and say hi to each other and do what you've been doing before I interrupted you, okay? And then we'll get back together and we're going to sing an old favorite song.
All righty, as you have found your seat, several things I'd like to do to get us going this morning. That's presumptive that people would actually find their seat. As you find your seat, thank you, and look up this direction. Okay, good. I'm doing well with this. Thanks, Jim, for paying along. Thanks for playing. All right, it's the same thing. Don't pay attention to that either. Okay. Devin, where did you go? Devin, come here. Come on up here. This happens to be, we keep track of people. I want you to notice that Janie is back with us after missing a couple of weeks. And we have all missed our... Yeah, okay, Florida, she's over there. Okay, good. And but there she is. You can greet her later. That's nothing but cool. But you need to know in this extent here that this is Devin's last gathering before he leaves for school. And he's going to be up in Gainesville at the University of Florida working on a PhD in math. And we're... Sorry. I had to ramp it up somewhere. He's going for his freshman year of school, and if you remember what that's like, then you know how to pray for him. And that's what we're going to do right now. I've asked Steve, who's an educator, who would pray for him and commit him as he goes. So, Stephen, would you lead us in prayer?
And a gator. Father God, we just right now just want to lift Devin up to you. Father, he's such a special person to all of us. Just to see his life and his growth in you and just his maturity and just his intellect. Father, there's going to be many challenges. We all know that as he goes to the university. Satan really wants to work on young Christian men. So, Lord, I pray that you protect him, watch over him. Help him not just to sort of go with the flow, but also challenge the views that are there. Give him the strength, the wisdom, and your Holy Spirit would lead him in all directions, Lord. And help him to do well in his studies. Help him to really advance and be a testimony in terms of what he learns. Help him in those dark hours and dark times. So be with him, Lord. We thank you for him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Devin, you're going to do great. I already told you that, right? So it's true, right? I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Let's clap for Devin. There we go. Great.
If you'll remain standing, does everybody have a song sheet? There's some more on the printer. Does anybody need one? Or you can share with somebody? Okay, great. I received a devotional last week or the week before suggesting that sometimes when you take one verse and read through it and emphasize a different word each time, it brings new meaning to familiar verses. So I thought we would do this together. We'll read this together. And many of you know that I had a breast cancer diagnosis about a week and a half ago, and I didn't think I was going to cry. But as in preparing for this service and meditating on Psalm 23 has been such a gift to remember that the Lord is my shepherd. He's guarding me. He's guiding me. He's going to take me through this journey. I can't look at Jim. but this verse really was the one I wanted us to do together. Because if he is my shepherd, I do have everything I need. This is from this particular version is the Living Bible. I'm sorry, this is a microphone. So anyway, let's read this together, and we'll do it kind of slowly and emphasize each word. You've got it in bold there, so we'll kind of just go through it. Let's begin. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Amen. You can be seated.
And as you're being seated, I don't know what your impression of Psalm 23 was this week, but for many of us, going back to Psalm 23 after maybe quite a while has been quite an event. And has caused us to stay in that scripture all week. Even those of us who've been around the faith for a number of years are still captured by the truths that are there. And that continues this morning. Beth, thank you for that reading. That really highlighted that of how just rich this scripture is. Usually right now we ask you to get in groups, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you, though, to get in a group of one, if you would do that, please, for me. Okay, most of you are there. That's great. That worked out tremendous. Now that you're in a... You didn't have to move chairs. Just keep your mind where it's at. But the reason is because I think this scripture provides for very contemplative moments. And we're about to have one. And we're also going to have one at the very end of our time here today. And for you folks who are visiting, I'm glad you're here. What we're doing is following a lot of the simple methodology of the early church of we study the Word of God, we worship together, and we pray together. And the cool thing is, you don't hear me preach. Can't beat that. So, and after this morning, you'll see why that's a good thing. So what we're going to do here this morning is very simple. I'm going to read the scripture for you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, not in nappy time, but in concentrated time, and listen to the scripture from Psalm 23. You've heard it 1,000 other times, but it is still spectacular. And you know what? Once again, meets us where we are. So bow your head or look off in the distance, whatever you have to do to concentrate and listen to the Word of God. The Psalm of David from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't care when David wrote this, early on in his life or later on as a mature believer in the Lord God himself. But this is so rich, provided for us by the Holy Spirit today to listen to. And it's going to start right here. It's going to start with you and I. Right now, we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to do so quietly. The church, the modern church, stays away from quiet. And we try at times to go back and have that quiet. I'm going to ask you to just take a minute right now, couple of minutes, and look at that psalm again on your own. If you've got it memorized, do it in your head. Listen to it again. And just note some of the things about your life, application to this verse, application to this word, or something in it that's speaking to you. And just have some time the next 5-8 minutes with the Holy Spirit doing exactly that, letting him teach you from his word. And after about 5-8 minutes, we'll get back together here. And we'll sing a song together, a new way of doing Amazing Grace for some of you, and that'll be kind of fun too. So let's have quiet meditation, focusing on the Lord and what the Holy Spirit would be sharing with us at this time from Psalm 23. Now, do you see how easy that is to do? And how easy that would be to incorporate into your everyday life, of taking that piece of scripture, rereading it, thinking about sentences, thinking about main thoughts, thinking about words that crop up and you go, wow, that word. And you know what? The Psalm 23 has got a lot of those kind of words that just stick with you and they mean something. That's when the Holy Spirit gets to teach us. He teaches us all the time. Middle of a crowded game, he can teach me. But during those quiet, private times, he does some real speaking. And here's your challenge to take not just this exercise this morning, but to take it into the week with other scriptures that you're studying and reading. It is meaningful, and then the next step is take out a pen and start taking some notes down, because it is truly worth doing so you can review those during other times in your life. Go, I remember when God taught me that. I remember when God taught me that. I remember when God showed me that. And you've got the idea. I appreciate that. Listen, we're going to take some time, and we're going to get into the Word with each other. And so I'm going to ask you to find yourself in a group of 2 or 3, no more than that. But it doesn't matter what I say. You'll get in your own group. Could be 12 or 15. But groups of 2 are good. 3 is permissible. 4 you shouldn't do. 5 somebody will probably do. So it's up to you. Get in a small group just with and the chairs move, by the way. Get together with them. And for the next few minutes, 10 minutes, if you would take time in Psalm 23 and share the things that made a deep impression upon you, whether it be a word, a phrase, a sentence, a thought, whatever. I'm going to invite you to do that now and be sharing that with each other and then decide if any of that needs to be shared with the whole group. Go ahead and find your group. About another minute or so. And be figuring out what you might want to share with the rest of us if you care to do so. Okay, if I could get your attention, I'd appreciate it. Looking up this way, listening up this way, if I could get your attention, Attention, Kmart shoppers. Okay, this psalm could be the psalm that we study for the rest of this calendar year. I'm sorry to say that. There's that much in it. And I, who have read it at least hundreds of times, just like a lot of you, have found fresh point after fresh point after fresh point. I believe that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit with us with God's Word. So don't shirk that after you leave here today. In fact, commit even deeper to it. Okay, in your group, including the one illegal group over there with two elder types, not looking at you, Glenn and Jim, but if there is something that you heard in your group or something you would like to share, now's your time to challenge and teach the body of Christ. And that's why we do this, okay? So if you'd like to share, I'm not going to point a finger, but you put your hand up and say, yeah, I'd like to share something I heard in my group or something we came up with I want to share with everybody. Now's the time to do that, okay? Hand up. I will wait for the first one. Come on, Ann. You know the speaking position for the Porch Pirates. It's right here, okay?
So I was looking at the first and second verse, I guess it is, where he talks about, you know, taking us to still waters and making us lay down in green pastures and then restoring our soul. But there we have to, we being me in this case, I have to take the time to be still and allow him to calm me and restore my soul, because I get stressed and anxious and busy and I don't go to him and give him the time to do what he's promised to do for me if I do.
And I have one comment back to that. Uh-oh. There are people like you, me, I don't relax real easy, okay, or put it down real easy. So good point. Beth?
Tom was telling me about learning about sheep and being in a pasture. When the shepherd entered the field, the sheep, because they know him so well, come and surround him and even rub up against the shepherd, you know, almost like a cat, and because they enjoy the shepherd's presence. They want to be close, as close to the shepherd as possible. And I love that image that when we're in God, in the presence of our shepherd, there should be that sense of joy and delight and closeness.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, anybody else want to get on this? We can. Okay, over here. Jerry?
I had something I was going to say, but what you said, Beth, before telling about Tom, it reminds me of a book that I read a year or two ago. It's called They Smell Like Sheep. It's about being an elder and how an elder needs to be with his people and rubbing up against each other. And you should be spending time with the people whose spiritual care that you are entrusted with. And that applies to us as church leaders, whatever our role is, whether it's an elder or some other leadership role, that we need to be caring for and spending time with each other, because we also are shepherds. But what Steve and I both glommed onto was in verse 6, where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And this isn't the Lord following us, because we're following him. So goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. And the picture that Steve and I both got in our minds may not be exactly what David intended, but I think it's still true that as we go through life led by our good shepherd and as he continues to influence and develop our lives, the trail that we leave behind that follows us through life would be goodness and mercy as we smear that all over the people around us. The crumbs that we leave behind, I think, is what we used.
Someone in our group who will remain nameless, but she was looking for a job, and God was leading her, and she saw that in this psalm too.
It's really good. Never heard an elder say schmear before. That was pretty good. Schmear. Schmear. Okay, got it. I'm putting East Coast spin on it, okay? Schmear. Okay, here we go.
Every time I hear this, I remember having a teenage room back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I had this thing called a black light with black light posters. And there was one poster of this burly gladiator kind of guy with a club and a spike and a sword. And it only used part of this. It used the part that said, "Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because I'm the baddest dude in the valley." And After I became a Christian, I realized that that dude on my wall was probably Goliath, and he got knocked out by a little shepherd boy. And that's when all the other things come into play, like the first three paragraphs where what God will do for me and what God did for me. And then I don't want to be that gladiator-type guy and be the baddest guy in the valley anymore, because I know who the baddest guy in the valley is, and he's the goodest guy in the valley. He's my shepherd.
So you are a gladiator. That is sweet. I like that. Okay. Anyone else want to share what you heard? Okay, Florence. Want me to hold this for you?
I think I can manage. Okay. Yes, reading I Shall Dwell in the House of the Lord Forever gives me and others in my group comfort to know that and to reinforce that.
Love it. Here we go. Keep going.
What stood out to me is where it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. And I think that's unusual, but I see that as that God is the one who works in us to guide us to become more like Christ. We don't have to be the ones to perform to his standard. He's the one leading us. And that then we talked also about the rod and staff. Comfort me. We think of those as discipline tools, but really they are tools that keep us on the right path or protect us. And so there's great comfort, and it's easier to relax when you sense somebody you trust is guiding you.
Excellent. Hold on. D?
Just one thing that I had never seen before. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The God of the universe, the all-powerful one, is my shepherd. I don't need anything. He gives me everything I need.
Love the insights. This is great. Gina, I'm coming. You know where you got to go. You got to come to the platform right here. That's just so we can see you.
You know, I can actually yell loud enough for you guys to all hear. We were talking at the verse 4, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. I walk through this a lot and have for a while, and it's a scary place sometimes. And everybody talks about in here, well, the people that come into your life. And a lot of the people in my life, my family, my loved ones, they are not believers. And then I have others come into my life. My new employee, she does believe. She's going through the same things I'm going through right now in a lot of different ways. And I'm finding that the people that come into my life, they're really going through the same things that I do. And all I can do is tell them how I get through it. And I work on that, trying to tell them I do this and how what holds me together when I'm afraid. And when I'm afraid, people, I get afraid. I break. But I tell them what holds me together. And I was thinking, and I didn't tell Rosie, there's something that I go through and I say, and it's really kind of funny. And I did tell the people, the lady I work with, when I go up those ladders, and I'm 30 foot in the air, get them up there. A lot of times I'm by myself doing this, and I'll get most of the way up. And it's a habit. I look up and I say, you got me? And I take one more step. And that's what I tell the people that's working with me. When you're going through these things, just look up and say, you got me?
Good. Amen and great. Anybody else see a word they want to share with everybody? Anybody else say that? Okay, Phil, you know where you got to come. This is so people can see him, all right? He appears from mysteriously from behind the curtain. Here he is. He's the wizard.
I can't seem to hide. The psalm says the Lord is our shepherd, and Jesus said that he's the good shepherd, and his sheep know his voice, and they follow him. And in this particular psalm, David is seeing that God is promising a lot. Well, he fulfills all our need. He promises to do that. He gives us a sense of peace and calm. He refreshes us both mentally and physically. He protects us. He gives us a sense of peace in times that are not so good if we follow him and we trust him. He helps us to overcome our fears and doubts. He leads us on life's proper path if we pay attention. He gives us a sense of confidence that we will be with him for all eternity if we trust in Jesus.
Thank you. Good and solid. Good and solid. Can I just take a minute of your time and share something as well? Can I do that with you? Have you noticed, and we all have, by the way, in this psalm, there is the Lord. If I'm going too quick for anybody, just raise your hand. I'll speak slower. But there's the Lord. Everybody got it? Okay, good. Thank you for answering. And then there are the sheep. Got it? Smelly sheep. Okay, we get the idea. That's the name of the next book, Smelly Sheep. All right, so I got the Lord and I got sheep. I got the Lord and I got me. Has everybody got that? Okay, listen carefully to this. When I was getting ready to put a point on this, I came up with two great sermon titles, which I'll never get to use. So you're going to get the sermon titles, okay? And the first one is this. Since when do sheep sit at the table? What's the answer? Never. Who would do that, okay? Or the other one I come up with for a great sermon title, who would ever invite a sheep to the table? And the answer to that is nobody. But me, the sheep, the smelly, messy sheep, has been invited to be at the table with my Lord, in fact, for all eternity, pictured as a banquet. You know, when I look at this psalm, let me tell you where the errors are in this psalm. We never talk about the errors in Scripture. It's just loaded with them. Here's a perfect one. For those health and wealth preachers today, look at this. So if you're looking at the psalm with me, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I get it. He makes me lie down. Verse 2, got it. 3, restores my soul, he leads me, I got it. And then what they did is they put in verses 4 and 5. They shouldn't have done that. It should have just skipped to verse 6 and then said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And you folks and I would have said Psalm 23 is one of our favorites. Except let me tell you this. The reason it's one of my favorites is not because of the way I just re-edited the psalm. The reason it's one of my favorites is because of verses 4 and 5. I'm sorry, health and wealth preachers. We as believers will go through some valleys. We will go through some hurts. There will be some tough times ahead. We will go to the doctor and get a diagnosis of a word that's this long that we can't pronounce. That's all coming. That's the human existence tainted completely by sin. So I'm so glad that our Lord puts verses 4 and 5 in here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and even face death myself. I love that that's there. Not like the people that are preaching this morning. People are putting money in their pockets saying, God wants you to be happy and wealthy and wise. And if you believe in Jesus, you'll never get sick. I said this the other day, and some of you know me, and my sense of humor is a little dark at times. But there was this one guy, and I'm not going to mention the name, I will to you privately. There was this one guy who was purporting all of that stuff. And all the people that followed him followed his stuff. If you had a sneeze, if you had a cough, if you had an earache, it's because of a certain sin in your life. And we need to figure out what that sin is and get it out of you. And this guy made millions and a mint doing that kind of stuff. Until one day at about 58 years of age, he went to the doctor with a little stomach ache. Really? You didn't go to ferret out the sin in your life. You went with a stomach ache to your doctor, and he found out that he had intestinal and stomach cancer, lived about 6 months and died. Now, I feel bad about that in a way. In another way, it kind of made me giggle as it was happening because this goes against everything you've preached for 30 years and gotten quite a following, and now you yourself are sick with the very thing of that one sin we got to ferret out of you so you get better. But look, this verse here, 4 and 5, are fantastic. And the best part about it is this, is that the Lord sets up a victory table, a banquet before me. And I don't mind that picture, but the better part of it is this. In the presence of my enemies are watching me sitting at the victory table. My enemies, my adversaries, are looking at the victory banquet that's been set up for me. And listen. Victory banquets take place after the war, not before it's over. I'm still in the war, and this table gets set up to encourage me, no matter where I'm at in my stage of life, no matter what I'm fighting against. But he sets it up for me in the presence of the enemies, and they can see it, and there's nothing they can do to stop it. Why? These people, the unseen and the seen ones, the unseen ones, are plotting for my demise, are trying to hamper my life and my effectiveness for Christ. They want to take me off my feet. They want to knock me down. They want me to fall. And if they could, they would slow kill me. That's how much a target I am of Satan. Those are the ones I can't see. And there's other ones that I can see called people and situations. Listen, these are the ones that are playing for my defeat, for my failure, for my even my death. But because of the one thing we did this morning, reading that scripture with the emphasis on different words, and we said this, the Lord is my shepherd. That's a big deal. It reminds me of the one time we were at our daughter's house, who produced a number of children. This is not meant to be funny, but that's what happened. And in particular, were three girls all together. One, two, three. You get the idea? Okay. And these girls, for whatever reason, just think I am the pinnacle of human existence. And I've got to tell you something with grandkids. I have feathered the nest left and right, and it is the truth. These kids love me to death. All you got to do is keep a couple of bucks in your pocket, a couple of dollars here or there, and you will become the favorite grandparent. I'm just helping you out with practical stuff, okay? That's right. There we go. But what would happen is the older one would always commandeer me. And she would always say to me, you're my favorite grandpa. Okay, great. And I may have fostered some of that. And the youngest one is just nothing but one who takes me hostage, drags you into her room. You got to play her game for hours, and you got to play the dog or do whatever. You know how this works when they're little, okay? She's just 17 years of age. She'll get over it sooner or later, okay? But then there's the middle one that we've always been concerned about, that she'd be blocked out because of the strong older one, the strong younger one. And there was one day I was at their house. Listen to me carefully. God is my honor. So we talked about it afterwards. This middle daughter, like age 8 or 9, grabbed my hand, I think frustrated that the other two had had me for a couple of days, grabbed my hand and dragged me into her bedroom. And she looked at me and she did not say it nicely. She exclaimed to me this, "You are my grandpa." And I thought, this is really kind of cool. All those dollar bills are paying back. This is working out for me. But listen, the fact of the matter is, as I go through this valley of the shadow of death, I have the Lord as my shepherd. My shepherd. I combine that with other truths in the scripture. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I combine that with the Old Testament principle of we have a God who goes before us. Yeah, the situations you've not gotten to, God is already there. And he is my shepherd. And as I experience this relationship with him, he sets up a banquet. It's a picture, but the picture is fantastic. He assures me with a big banquet spread in the presence of my enemies who are powerless to stop the fact that we are celebrating and enjoying relationship before the end of the war comes. There it is. That's what I like to see. That's what this psalm teaches me. And then it goes on further, talks about the oil, the anointing of oil, the specialness of the oil. In fact, if I've been in the desert, the nice you want to smear on your face kind of oil because your skin is dry. My cup is overflowing. The blessings of abundance that comes from God. I get all that. And the thing that's not mentioned here is if you did host a banquet, if you hosted a banquet for other people to come, you would assure their protection while they were under your roof. With your people who are armed would be ensuring your protection. It's not in here, but it's a great cultural note just to make some time in the future for yourself. I put that all together and I realize this. There are folks here this morning who would never even share that they're hurting over this. They would never, ever even share with a friend they're hurting over this. There are people here who are struggling with physical pain, emotional pain, psychological pain, loss. It's the human existence. It's not like the clowns on TV collecting your money say. No, it's not that way. This is spiritual life lived in the real trenches in real life. And people that are around me are dirty and messy, and I don't like the way they smell because they smell like sheep, and you know what? So do I. It's in that place, the shadow of death, that the Lord prepares this table for me. So what we want to do this morning to end our time together is we wanted to have a focused time where we played a song, but we're not asking you to sing it with us. We're going to play a song that emphasizes the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, my personal shepherd. And I'm going to ask you at this point in time to close your eyes and to bow your head and to listen to, yeah, we always hear the music, but especially listen to the words. And if you do listen to the words to this song, you're going to find yourself agreeing and maybe even saying, yeah, that's right, or amen. This song is causing me, Father, to worship you in a different way, in a more focused kind of way, as we emphasize the fact that he is our personal shepherd, my shepherd, through all the events of this life. So let me challenge you just for the next couple of minutes to listen very closely to this song. And if it leads you to worship, worship. If it leads you to pray, pray. If it leads you to once again consider that the Lord is my shepherd, well, let that happen. That's a good thing. Heads bowed, everybody listening to the song.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
Let's pray. Our Father, how we do thank you for the fact that you are the God of the universe. We don't even know how to understand that. The creator of everything, the wisdom of the universe, the planner of the universe, the one who's in charge of every single thing that exists. You're our good shepherd. You're our personal shepherd. You're my shepherd. Father, I worship you for that and will forever. And Father, as we go this week into what is an unknown week, we give it to you, asking that you'd shepherd us through it as you use us to share the true life of Jesus Christ with others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a minute, greet with each other, fellowship with each other. Say we're glad to see you, Annette. You are dismissed.